Matthew chapter 9. Keeping the thought in our mind this evening that Jesus is our example. We learn from Him, learn from His example, by His example. So we're going to look at one of the things, one of the attributes, characteristics that He portrayed and is evident, often evident in the Gospels. Something for us to allow to reflect into our lives. Be such a reflection in our life that we then can reflect that outward to others around us. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Of the kingdom. And healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Jesus is also recorded in John chapter 4, verse 35 to say, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. He was moved with compassion. Compassion. I see that as a characteristic of Christ that is very, very prevalent in the New Testament, in the Gospels. Over and over again we see that he had compassion. He was moved with compassion. He looked on them with compassion. He had such compassion that it caused him to react. It caused him to act. There are times that because of the compassion that he experienced, when he looked on the people around, that it also induced or caused tears. He wept. Not only did he weep at Lazarus' grave, but he also wept as he looked over Jerusalem and remembered and recalled that they had killed the prophets and he, Jesus Christ, had tried to deliver them from sin and they refused. And he said that he tried. He wanted to gather them like a mother hen gathers her chicks, but she would not. And it grieved him. He had compassion on them and it caused him to have tears. Webster tells me that the word compassion is sympathetic concern for the suffering of another, together with the inclination to give aid or support or to show mercy. But don't you wish that Webster would have left off that last little phrase, to show mercy? Concern for the suffering of another. Oh, that's simple enough. Together, combine that with the inclination to give aid or support. I don't know. Taking it that next step to show mercy kind of... Wow. And then we're reminded that His mercy endureth forever. The mercy of God endureth forever. It's renewed every morning. Somebody else defined compassion as sorrow or pity excited by the distress or misfortunes of another. Sympathy. Let's not confuse what he's saying here with that word excited. It's not standing up with glee, clapping their hands at somebody else's distress and misfortunes, but through the distresses and misfortunes of another person, it excites or it develops and builds a spirit of compassion in the heart of the beholder. Can you see that in the life of Christ? Can you see that Jesus, through the misfortunes and the sorrows and the sufferings of people around him, his heart was excited by that in the sense that he felt it and expressed it through compassion? How far does compassion take us? How far do we allow compassion to push us into action? You know, it's one thing to follow through with the first part of Webster's definition to having some kind of concern, some sympathetic concern. Even to the point where there's an inclination to give aid and support and to show mercy. But how far do we allow, how far do we trust compassion to push us? Well, let's just jump in real deep. Jump in. What's the term? Feet first. And see that compassion took Jesus into a place that could be physically devastating when he met with the leper in Mark chapter 1. Jesus moved with compassion, actually reached out and touched him, and said, "Be thou clean." Oh, that's easily to explain away, because Jesus was not just man, he was God, so we know that leprosy was not going to affect him. Well, there's a fine line there, isn't there? It's an easy thing to dismiss. It's an easy thing for us to excuse away. Well, you know, I can't touch the dirty, I can't touch the filthy, because it will come over onto me. It will harm me. It can be a detriment to me. And that can be true. But Jesus gives us the example, and we are to live by his example, that even though this man was a leper, and even though through the customs of the day he should not have touched him, he still had compassion on him and touched him. I don't think it's necessary for us to think that we have to stay away from the leper. I don't know that I've ever seen a leper in the United States. Don't think it's something that we have to be necessarily concerned about here. But it might be easy for us to stay away from somebody because of something in their life, something dirty, something that is unclean, something that is... maybe we could even go so far to say it's despicable. Jesus moved with compassion because he saw the inner need, because he saw the cry of the heart, because he saw the suffering of the soul. And it moved him to compassion, moved him with compassion, even to the point that he overlooked the obvious darkness that was shrouding that individual. He was moved with compassion. It does get us down to the point where we, for ourselves, would have to realize that for us to do it, it's going to have to be that of a pure motive. It's not going to be a selfish intent. Maybe that's the bottom line, is when we reach the point where it's no longer about self, but simply about God, that we are able then to touch the heart of the individual that is unclean. He was moved with compassion, and he wasn't afraid of getting dirty. compassion is also, it's something for us to consider that compassion is or has within its definition understanding. Though these two definitions that I've given didn't bring that word out exactly, compassion would have something to do with understanding. Understanding in the sense that it's not criticism. You know, quite often it's easy for us to criticize when we don't understand. When we think that we see the whole picture, but in reality we don't see the whole picture. When we think we can understand and define somebody's motive, when in reality we cannot define and understand somebody's motive. But an understanding would be that in the midst of, or whatever the circumstances are, it is obvious that here is a hurting heart, here is a troubled soul, and my heart is moved with compassion to offer aid, or to help provide aid, or to give support, and to... Ooh, again, here comes that lump in the throat, show mercy. Understanding. Matthew 9, verse 36, that we've already looked at, we see that Jesus had an understanding heart about the physical conditions of the people. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. There was a weariness about them. There was a heaviness about them. There was something going on that caused their spirit, their soul, their inner makeup to faint, or maybe simply their physical to faint. I know we try our best to hold up, and we try our best to stand up with a smile on her face. And we almost have to consciously think from time to time, well, I better get that smile plastered onto my face because I have to face people. And we don't want anybody else to see that we're hurting. People around us may do the same thing. We may have to look beyond. We may have to see past that smile, see past the facade of their life to find out and look intently into their eyes and maybe converse with them and share with them so that then we can see that here is somebody that is in need and show compassion, have an understanding heart. Understanding really only comes when we are able to put ourselves at least in measure in somebody else's shoes. I know that it's easier to think that we see the whole picture. It's easy for us to think that we have right to judge by that picture and to criticize based on that picture. But it appears that Jesus, when he saw, he had compassion. It appears that when Jesus looked on, he had compassion. Now, there are times that he didn't have compassion. Now, I don't think we could say that he had compassion on the money changers in the temple. Maybe he did. Maybe he did show mercy and had compassion because at least he didn't, you know, eliminate them. He just struck the whip and tipped over their tables. Had compassion. Sometimes we might even find somebody who has a scapegoat. Have you ever talked to somebody that had a scapegoat? I'm talking about somebody who has problems in their life and all of their problems are attributed to this one source, this one thing, this one cause, this scapegoat. Anytime you talk to them, anytime you share with them, anytime that you hear something out of their mouth, all of their problems stem from this scapegoat. There's all kinds of things that we can get into with that. Maybe it's real. Maybe it's something that over the process of time has become real to them. And so they're able to hold up. They're able to put a smile on their face because they're able to throw everything over here on the scapegoat. And they don't have to take responsibility for it. They don't have to share in it. They don't have to carry it. They can throw it over here on the scapegoat. Those people still need compassion. Those people still need an understanding heart, not a critical heart, but an understanding heart. Understanding comes when we are able to try at least to look through the eyes of that individual, that person that is sick, that person that is suffering, that person that is lonely, that person that is in sorrow, that person that is less fortunate. You know, we meet them every day. If we're out and about with any length of time, we meet them every day. So many of you, a number of you anyway, work at hospitals. Where else could you find people that need? Some of you work at other places of business and people just come and go. They punch the clock or whatever it is they do and they go about their daily activities and then they go back home. But in the midst of all of those things that go on during that day, you are rubbing shoulders, you are bumping elbows, you are making contact with people that deep down inside need an understanding heart, a compassionate heart. I've said it before, and I feel it. I still feel it. I felt it Friday after dealing with second period class. How the teachers go to school 5 days a week. I guess that's why subs are on such high demand. But I tell you what, that second period class is enough to cause any teacher to retire. Even if you've only been a teacher for 1 year, it's enough to cause a sub to retire after one day. I wish I could describe for you, but I can't do that. Wouldn't be fair to people involved. But as I look at the trouble, it's not just a simple surface issue. Chance not here tonight, but Chance and I have talked about it. He was never a troublemaker in school, never one to cause trouble as such. He was always on the principal's list, he'll admit that. He'll talk about that. But he wasn't one to cause trouble. And he would say, you know, so-and-so was trouble. Or I would say, so-and-so was trouble. And he would say back to me, he said, well, you know, the reason why that person's a trouble, and he would give an explanation of what causes that person to be. You see, there's an underlying cause that Chance recognized. He knew it. You know, I don't understand teachers. You have a calling, and I have to give it to you. God bless you. You know, it doesn't matter what work we do, the teachers in the school, the nurses in the hospital, the workers in the workforce, it doesn't matter what we do, there are people that are crying out. Crying out. Understanding comes from a heart of compassion. Jesus understood. He experienced sorrow. He experienced loneliness. He experienced suffering. He experienced death. It comes through the experiences of life that allowed him or gave him a better understanding. He feels our infirmity. He understands our infirmities. He understands our weaknesses. He understands people. And he was moved with compassion, understanding, not criticism, but understanding. It's easier for us to love somebody. It's easier for us to love somebody when we begin to develop an understanding heart rather than a critical heart. Compassion is also not discouraged. You say, well, that must be easier said than done. Peter tells us in his first epistle, he said, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. He just lays it out there that it's not an ending thing. It's not something that has an end to it. It's a task that continues on. It's an ongoing thing. Love as brethren. Have the heart that is pitiful towards them, or pity them and share in that and have courtesy towards them. If we could talk to the Good Samaritan of the Gospels, and we were to ask the Good Samaritan, Mr. Samaritan, hindsight, do you wish that you'd have never got involved? Look at the expense that was on him. Simply because he saw the one that was beat up, thrown in the ditch. Simply because his heart was moved with compassion and he offered to give aid and he offered to give support. But look what it cost him. It cost him in money and it cost him in time. He had to come back. That compassion drove him to come back and check on him, come back and make sure that payment was made in full for him. This was a big task. This was a priority-changing task. I don't know. It seems to me that on that road, they were going there, they were traveling that road for a purpose. That they had a goal in mind at the end. Perhaps they had an appointment at the end. They had something to get to. This was not just a casual walkway. They were not viewing the scenery just for the sake of viewing the scenery. I don't believe. He was going somewhere. He had an intent. And I say that, I bring that into our thinking tonight simply because you and I are driven by our priorities. And we have so often, we have those priorities to keep intact. We have those needs that must be met. We have those appointments that cannot be delayed. Mr. Samaritan, do you wish that you had not seen? Do you wish that you had looked the other way? Do you wish that you had not been quite as involved? I'm not going to try to give an answer for him. I think it's just simply a question for us to ask ourselves. Because this Good Samaritan gave of himself. He became involved with helping the less fortunate. He did not run away. He did not look the other way. He did not turn away. But he got involved because his heart was moved with compassion. Compassion also involves courage to come forward to help out with the job that needs to be done. Oh, it may look terrible. It may look like I can't handle it, or I don't have time, or I don't have knowledge. Those are reasonable aspects. These are reasonable considerations for us in dealing with things. Compassion is understanding. Compassion is not weary in well-doing. You know what verse I want to give for that, don't you? Be not weary in well-doing. We shall reap if we faint not. Compassion is not weary in well-doing. His mercy endureth forever. compassion, sympathetic concern for the suffering of another, together with the inclination to give aid or support or to show mercy. Compassion, sorrow, or pity, excited by the distress or the misfortunes of another. Sympathy. And he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. And through that compassion, he touched lives, he touched hearts, he changed lives. I think tonight that if we allow that to sink within us, that it would help us as well. If it becomes a conscious thought within us, that we have the opportunity to reflect his compassion. No, we can't do everything that he did. We can't touch that leper and make them whole. We can't make the blind see. We can't raise the dead. We can't, but we can show compassion. We can share. I believe that what we're looking at this evening is that we should be encouraged to be compassionate to the hungry, hurting, sorrowing hearts around us, the less fortunate around us. To provide for them, if nothing else, a sympathetic heart where they can sense that we have compassion. Not criticism, but understanding. Not hate, but love. To share in the sorrow or the pain that they would carry. Help us to be compassionate. Help me to be compassionate. Let's stand together.